are. We're back in Proverbs 27. I was sitting there, you know, I look at crowds and I think, what this, what that. But listen, God is so on time. There's a point in this message. I'm not even going to preach it. I'm not going to get to it. But God is such an on-time God that when I thought that I would get to that point, that fourth part of the proverb, that it wasn't for y'all, it was for me today. It was like on purpose today. I mean, the first thing that happened to me today, I mean, the very first woke up, bam, right there in my face, and God had something. I said, I'll study this last proverb just in case I have to put it in there. And God said, that one's for you. Amen. How would God know that I would read that last verse on this day and I would need that verse? Because God is faithful. And if you'll be faithful, you'll find God faithful. Amen. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. We're really busy. I hope this comes out the way it needs to come out. We know we've done the funeral, went down to Georgia and preached last night, preaching tonight, preaching tomorrow morning, preached two times. We're going to preach till we fall apart. It's just good, though. I love doing it. So I hope we can get this out to you. I hope you can get some points from these proverbs. And it was really neat. I wanted to say this, too, before we got started. I was thinking this message would be really good, but it comes from a point of view almost like I was giving information to my son. And then Peyton walked in. I thought, man, that's pretty cool, too. Amen? And then I'll give you one more little note for information-wise. I wrote a message right before I came here tonight on a kitchen paper towel. Is one of the best revival messages I've ever written. You better be here Sunday. It's going to be good. Let me say it the way I should say. It's going to be on like Donkey Kong in here on for Sunday. Bring somebody that ain't saved. And then bring yourself in here too. Amen? Bring somebody that ain't saved, and you bring somebody, you bring yourself too, and you bring a good attitude. Come in here and say, God, if it's for me, let it hit me right between the running lights. Amen? If you, right between the eyes, in my brain, and in my heart. Amen. All right, let's get in Proverbs 27, verse 9. Now, this is going to be, I told you, some of y'all probably read these a million times. I'm trying to give y'all something, a little bit different spin or a little bit turn. I'm not going to manipulate the scriptures. I'm just giving you a different point of view from it. This verse 9, ointment and perfume. Remember this Proverbs also about relationships, friendships, things like that. How we deal with other people, this whole proverb is. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So does the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Amen. Underline that last part right there. We're going to go back and get the first part of this verse, but I want you to get this. The sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Don't mistake that when it says sweetness, but then it follows up by hearty counsel. When it says hearty right there, it doesn't mean what you're thinking. Oh, I'm giving them my heart. No, this comes from your soul. This is counsel. Listen to me. I'm going to really teach right here for a second. This is counsel to your friend from you. It's to you from a friend that has been tested. You might want to put a note right there. A friend that has been tested. That means they went through something with you hard. You've went through something with them hard. And they see something in your life. And they can give you counsel. And that's why I'm going to give this the back part of the verse first and then the first part of the verse second, because I want you to understand sometimes you're going to have to say stuff to your friend out of your soul for their betterment, and it ain't always good. Amen? And it might cost you. It might cost your friendship for a period of time or forever. But if you love them and they know you love them, it would be better to come out of that counsel of your soul and to say it, hey, this is how I see it. You know I'm your friend, and I wouldn't expect anything less from you if you was telling me. Amen? That hearty. They should know that it's coming from your soul. They should know there's a friendship. Amen? And there's in this next verse, in verse 10, is going to be so sweet because God, He tells us. It's almost like a father telling a son. We've had some friends who are an old friend is a good friend. Amen? And a friend to your parents or your grandparents is a great friend. We'll get into that in a minute. But watch this verse 9. I wanted y'all to get this, and some of y'all have some expertise in this, and I don't. But it says, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. Man, can't somebody be some ointment and some perfume? I thought of it this way, and somebody y'all can meet me out here afterwards and get me in a headlock and tell me what I don't know about ointments. But when I read that, I see sometimes an ointment have a little medical in it. Amen. A little medical purpose, I hope. Amen. If it don't, this whole message has failed. But when I read it, I say, here's an ointment. It don't just soothe. It's got a medicine to it. Sometimes you got to be a medicine. So, and, you know, we've changed now. We've changed, Terry, in your day and maybe a little bit of mine. Medicine wasn't looked forward to. Amen. They didn't cover up medicine. It wasn't grape. It wasn't cherry. It was nasty. Amen. Somebody said, you're getting medicine. You're just thinking, oh, man, right? But guess what? Now they've done that. But listen, sometimes the medicine from a friend is hard. Amen? It's hard to administer. It's hard to give. But I like that perfume too. Guess what? We can also do what? Cover up a mess. Amen? Have you ever had to have a squirt or two of perfume or cologne to cover up a stink? Hey, man. Come on. I know some of you been on vacation. You'll be like, man, what's that smell? We ain't going to get back to the hotel in a time soon. I'm sorry. That's only me. I've used car air freshener before. Hey, man. Goodness. No, me smell like a new car. And you don't. You'll get that later. When you get halfway home, you'll get the "and you don't" part too. Amen. But I love that about a friend. A friend from your soul. A friend from your soul that has your benefit. So he's going to be a medicine to you, but he's also going to be a covering to you too. She's going to be a medicine to you, and she's going to be a covering. I love it when it's sweet enough where it could be a family member, a son, a daughter, a dad, a mother, but then a genuine, true, you know, friend that's not connected to the family too. Amen? Ain't that good? And we'll get into that into verse 10. I hope these are helping you. They help me, praise God, about this friendship stuff, because sometimes today we're only friends. I could really step in it tonight if I was. We only friends as long as you see it the way I see it, say it the way I say it, like it the way I like it. But if you say one thing I don't agree with, it's over. We're parting ways. Now, that ain't only in friendship. That's a lot of big relationships if you get where I'm hinting at right there. Amen? You should be able, as a friend, to hear something that you disagree with, then look at somebody and say, but this is my friend, because in a track record, over time, they have shown themselves friendly. I don't have to agree with them about everything to be their friend. I've said this a couple of times from this pulpit. You might want to write this down. Sometimes you might want to give your friend a pass. In return for a pass yourself. Goodness gracious. That we could go home right now and be good, right? Because sometimes we are not quick to hand out a pass when somebody's been handing out pass after pass after pass for you. Amen? Putting up with your attitude. And all of a sudden you get one time, oh, damn, I'm done with you. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Amen? I won't go any further, because that'll be me. Verse 10, thine own friend, thy father's friend, forsake not. That own friend right there means the old friend. Amen? You might want to write, this is one of my gauges right here. You might want to do a little self evaluation right here. Do you have any old friends? Amen? What that means is, has everybody got to be new in your life? Because after they figure you out and you figure them out, you're always gone. Amen? After about five or six of those people, it's a you. Amen? Y'all right? It's a you. Amen? And I can go ahead and preach in the churches right there. I've been to 16 churches. I've been to 17 churches. All them churches. Yeah, it ain't all the churches. Amen? Whew, goodness, I better leave that. Somebody could be mad at me. Remember your old friends. That's what the word's saying right here. You remember those old friends. Praise God. If they've been tested, if they've been tried, if you've put weight on them and they've stood, praise God, don't forget them. That's what I would tell my son. He said, I said, man, you got an old friend. Praise God. Remember them. Cherish them. Love them. Be there for them. When you can, you go above and beyond for them. Amen. And thy father's friend, forsake not. I love that. Thy father's friend. You know what some of you dads should do? Some of you grandparents? Sometimes my dad did this for me. We was up in a church in Etowah, Tennessee. And my dad, I mean, I think I was 30-something. He grabbed me by the hand. He said, come up here. I'm like, all right. He took me all the way to the front of the church, and there was a man standing up there, and he goes, this is so-and-so. Don't know his name. It's been 20 years, 10, 15 years. But he said, this fella right here is a friend of mine. If you ever have a need, you come to him. He is a friend of mine. Amen? You know what he was telling me that for? He said, if this guy right here ever needs you, you stand up for him because he stood up for me. Hey, man, I want to tell my son, I want to point out some people ever so often and say, hey, that person, they didn't have to. They didn't need to. They put the heat on themselves. They became a friend of mine. They took some arrows for me. They took some bullets for me. Remember them. And if they ever need you to stand up, if they ever need you to take an arrow, if they ever need you to be a shield, you be one. Praise God, some of us need to pass on generational friends. Man, that's just good. I'm glad that's in there. I've got a few people, and he knows of a couple people. And I've told him, we've sat and had conversations. I said, don't forget that person. If they have a hurt, anything that's going on in their life, and you can meet it, you remember them because they helped us. Amen? Think about that. God's good like that. He puts people in your life for that, but he'll put you in their lives too. Now this gets even sweeter because this is something I've been learning. This is something I've been learning since I've been here at this church. I didn't get this. When I first read these verses, I didn't even have a clue what they meant. He said, neither go into thy brother's house in the day of calamity, for better is a neighbor than in the near brother far off. And I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? Lord, you got that wrong. Amen? You got that one wrong, Lord. I'm sorry. If I got a real problem, I'm going to go to my family before I go just to a friend. And then I happened to come to church up here, and I happened to get isolated away from everything I grew up around. My brother moved to Texas. My mom and dad's already gone on to be with the Lord. Amen? I'm out here all by myself with the Lord. And guess who else? My church friends and family. Amen? And listen, if something real bad happened to me, just like it did not long ago in 2020, when something bad happened, you know what? My brother, this is 2 days before my brother got a hold of me because he's in Texas, and we happened to be going through a small thing called a pandemic. But there was some of you people, guess what? Right there you were. Guess what? The friends were closer than a brother. Amen? So, and I've learned that. Praise God, if you stick around long enough, there'll be some people. Let me just say it the way I need to say it. God will give you a church family and a forever family, amen, that will withstand better than your blood family. Amen? Golly, I'm preaching right now. Y'all better get that. Because some things, you can go to your physical blood family and say some things, and their head will turn sideways, and they'll go, And you could walk right back in here and go, and you could tell somebody that's been going to church with you and loving you and praying with you and praying for you, praise God, and you say, hey, God said this, and they go, I'm with you. I'm with you. I believe. I'm following. I'm tracking. I'll be right there with you. I'm in. Amen? God's called me. God sent me. God's given me. And they're sitting there going, yes. And you tell your brother, your sister, anybody, and they're looking at you like, no. I don't agree with that. I don't like that. But here you are. You got a brother and sister. Ain't that good? Ain't that sweet that God puts that in his word because he wanted you to know one of the wisest men other than Jesus to walk the face of the planet tells you there's going to be some people in this world who are going to love God just like you love God. And they're going to become joined to you like family. and you're going to benefit from them. Listen to this. You want to write this down. Remember them. Remember them. Amen. Remember them. That's a great word. Amen. God put that on us, and I just couldn't. I just loved it. Let's get in that verse 11. My son, golly, this is, here. Y'all want some family advice? Peyton, I don't know how you rolled in here on this thing. Must have been an act of God. He's been working a lot on Wednesdays, and I'm thinking, you know, he can come. Man, there he sits. But look at this. Watch this right here. He says, my son, y'all ready? Anybody in here need some parental advice? Anybody in here raising any kids or anything? All right, pray God. I'll give you a little bit right here. This is from the Word of God. My son, be wise and make my heart glad that I may answer him that reproacheth me. Y'all want how that breaks down? You know what this is like, a father going to a son. He says, listen, listen, son. Live right, act right, do right. Follow Jesus right. Because some people watch me raise you, and they watch the boundaries I put on you. They watch the correction I put on you. They seen the instruction that I gave you, and they said some things, and they're reproaching me. But I want them to be able to look at you and say, you know what? Whatever you got to say, they're walking it out. Oh, my gosh, y'all are so good, man. I mean, that's, y'all just let that fluff on by. But praise God, everybody in this room, everybody's got an expert on how to do family. Amen? Everybody's an expert on how to raise your kids. I wouldn't do that if I were you. I wouldn't put that on them. Hey, here, I've had this one. I'll just give y'all a little old example. That way some of y'all can figure out what I'm saying. Here's what I say. I wouldn't force my kid to come to church. I wouldn't make a stipulation if they're not in my house, they're going to serve the Lord. I go, well, good for you. Good for you. But you ain't raising my kid. Amen. And maybe I did draw a hard line, and maybe I did tell them, as long as I'm funding the show, you be at church, and if you ain't there, you better have a good excuse. Well, I just wouldn't be that way. Well, that's when you have to go to your son and say, look, live it, walk it, because I'm catching the heat for your life. And I'm glad it's in there. It says, hey, make it where I'm not eating my own raisin. Amen? Woo! Ain't that good? Some of you are going to have interesting conversations at your house tonight. Some of y'all are going to roll up on them kids and you're going to say, listen, stop making a fool out of me. Live like you're supposed to, the way I raised you. Because I'm catching it a little bit by the way I raised the standard on you. Can I just go a little bit further than that with you? Who cares? Who cares? Amen? God give you those kids. Amen? You pray, you ask God, and you do it the way God tells you to do it. Period. Stop sitting around going, man, so-and-so's kids and their kids. Them's your kids. And if I would break it down a little further, God said it this way. Those are your arrows that I put in your quiver. One day I'll want to shoot them, but if you don't make them right, then I won't be able to shoot them where I want to shoot them. I give you one job. And that job don't end until it ends. Amen? My daddy was a better daddy to me when I was in my late 20s and early 30s than he was when I was a small child. Some of y'all will instill wisdom and draw boundaries when they're older than when you did when they were younger. And they will appreciate you for it. Man, it's so quiet in here. It must be good preaching, or y'all just mad as hornets. I don't know which. Y'all, it'll be good either way. Verse 12. Hey, oh, this is good. Peyton, I hate putting you on the spot like that, but you've been living with me for 18 years, so this would be some good stuff for you too. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hide himself, but the simple man pass on and are punished. A prudent man, a smart man, a wise man, you can see when evil's coming. You can. You live long enough. You can see when evil's coming. I'm about to give you another verse for it. And it says to hide. That don't sound too manly, does it, men? I mean, you see some trouble coming and you're like, what am I going to do about this? The Bible says hide yourself. Amen? I see so many people falling into sin. The only reason they fell into sin, they weren't stupid enough to get out of the area. Amen? They weren't stupid enough to get out. They weren't smart enough to get out of the area. This is the thing that I didn't want to put Peyton. I was kind of wishing he wouldn't hear. I was going to give y'all a good analogy. I might have given it to you already. But when Peyton was young, this is different now because he signed up to fight now at one point. But when he was young, we homeschooled Peyton. If you don't know, that's why he's so wonderful. His face is red. Awesome. We homeschooled him, and we lived on the campus over there at our master's camp, and we put him through a Becker curriculum and everything. But we had some strict rules at the house, and I should go back to them now a little bit better, but we had these rules about TV and such. And Peyton was probably 7, 8 years old, maybe a little younger, maybe a little older. But all of a sudden, we're over there one night, and we're cruising through the channels. Melissa wasn't there. You'll know who the parental control is then. And all of a sudden, Peyton and me are switching through the channels, and we roll up on the MMA channel. And these guys, you know, they're out there just almost bare-knuckle, and it's just rough. Me and Peyton, we're supposed to go on Little House on the Prairie or something. But we froze up there on the UFC because it got into our manliness, so we're like, ooh. And then I look over. I know I'm in the wrong. He don't have a clue. But I'm watching about 5 minutes in, and I look over, and his eyes are about that big. I'm serious. This is a true comment. His eyes are about that big. And I went, oh, no. He going to tell on me because he'd tell on me every time. So I'm like, I'm flipping through the channels, and he goes, Dad, did you see that? And I said, hey, did you see that one man? He's punching him in the face. I mean, just punching him in the face. And I said, yeah, I seen it, son. But we don't need to talk about it. He said, you know what I would have done? You know, that one guy came in the ring and the other guy came in the ring. And I said, yeah. He said, you know what I would have done? I said, what? He said, I would have jumped over the rail and ran back to the locker room. That ain't him today, but that was him then. That was him. And I said, you're a smart man. Amen? Sometimes you got to get out of the ring. Amen? Sometimes you just got to be smart enough to say, hey, this is trouble, and I need to get out of here. Amen? And it says that unprudent man, he looks at the trouble, and he just says, either he's being lazy, or he just doesn't care, but he just walks into it anyway, and he just keeps happening and happening and happening. When he can't see the trouble, and he won't make a decision, life is really based on decisions. And I want to give you one. I want to give you this real quick point, and I hope this helps you. 1 Corinthians 10:13, you don't have to go there. But this is one of the most misquoted scriptures in the whole Bible. Well, I won't say misquoted, I'll say misused. Don't ever use this verse at a funeral. Ever. Don't ever walk up to somebody and use this verse at a funeral. All right? I'm just giving you some friendly advice. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. What God said is, there is temptations in this life. Everybody's going to be tempted. But nothing that's greater than what men get tempted with, what women get tempted with, what we get tempted with. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay? But God is faithful. We could stop right there and preach for 35 minutes. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able. What is able to what? Able to walk away from. Able to hide from. Able to escape. Okay? But watch this right here. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Some of you folks that teach in the youth group, you need to hear this right here and teach it. You need to teach this a lot. You need to let them hear this. God, you're going to be tempted to do a lot of things in your life, and God will make a way for you to get out of that. Here's the part you want to teach them. Here's what you want to hear, guys. That window, that opportunity, shuts fast. That opportunity, that window to get out of it, shuts real quick. The devil will try to keep you in the room, keep you in the car, keep you at the party, keep you with that person, keep you in those places, and you will know, you will absolutely know, I can leave right now. I can step out of this car right now. My wife's brother, who was paralyzed for his whole life, amen, said he still remembers the night when he... Remember when he was living, the night that he got in the car, he seen both of his feet go in the car, and he knew God told him, get out of this car. He said, I can still remember. He said that I remember both of my feet going in the car. He goes, and I had no idea why I focused so much on my feet. So I'm telling you, you need to hear this. God gives you a chance when you see that evil to what? Get out of it. Step out. Hide. Run. Escape. You will look foolish for a moment, but not for a long lifetime. Amen? Not for a long eternity. Amen? Does that make sense to you? Amen? Does that make sense to you? I love that, and I wrote this down in this too. God gives plenty of warning before he gives wounds. Amen. God gives plenty of warning before he gives those big wounds. So you need to understand that. Make that understanding. I love these scriptures. I love what it's teaching us in this. I hope there's something you can grab a hold of in these Proverbs. We're going slow. We're going methodical. And we're working through these Proverbs until they stick in our brains. Amen? And we work through them. Amen? This is all about relationships. It's all about how we deal with situations in our lives. And I hope, man, the biggest takeaway for me to you tonight is this right here, especially on this last point. When God gives you an opportunity to get out of a situation that's wrong, don't worry about offending anybody else. Get out. Don't worry about making somebody else mad. Get out of the situation. Step out of that situation and leave. You will never regret that. Amen? Has this lesson, message, sermon, whatever you want to call it, has it helped you tonight? Will you go out of here better than you came in? Amen. Well, come back next Wednesday. Guess what we're going to do? Three or four more Proverbs. Amen? Three or four more Proverbs. Do we have a question? Okay. All right, we're going to pray. Remember David Young and Heidi Young as they travel back today. I see Han. They're traveling back from burying his dad today. They had the funeral today way down in South Georgia. So remember them as they travel. Go ahead.